chapter 19. Begin reading with verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, honor, power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice, again singular, of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Again, that's a scene that takes place in heaven. And it's a scene of worship. It's a scene of praise. And most certainly, those in heaven can praise God in a way that we can't. There's no doubt about that. But the life of a child of God is to be one of continuous and growing praise to the Lord. And that for, of course, innumerable reasons. We praise him first because of who he is, because he's God. Even if he didn't do a single thing for us, we're to praise him because of who he is. Then, of course, we're to praise him because of his dealings. Whatever those dealings are, he is to be praised. And that's our subject this evening, continuous, growing praise. Again, we're not preaching from the verses that we read. That's not our intent. We just gather our thought from these verses. The words, praise the Lord, occur 33 times in the Word of God. And there are many other ways in which this idea is conveyed in the Word of God, such as bless the Lord. That's just another way of saying praise the Lord. Bless the Lord occurs 18 times. Blessed be the Lord, 29 times. The word extol is a word that conveys the idea of praise. The word exalt, again, another word that conveys the idea of praise. The word honor, the word glorify, all are just different ways of saying the same thing. Praise the Lord. All are verbs, something that we do. And the object and the motive of the act of praise is to always be the Lord. If there's any other motive, I believe it probably ceases to be praise, true praise. The Lord is the motive for you and I to praise. There are the words, praise ye the Lord. That's personal. Praise ye the Lord. And that occurs 27 times. And that is the Hebrew translation of this word, alleluia, or hallelujah, in our text. So praising the Lord is something that we are to do. It's something that we're never to stop doing. It's continuous. As our knowledge of the Lord grows and as our experience of God grows, so our praise should grow in fervency and in degree. Again, our text is a picture of heavenly praise. And again, we're aware that they can praise God in a way we can't. But that's not a reason to ever stop praising the Lord. That's not a reason to always be looking for opportunity to praise the Lord. We see that this praise is spontaneous. Ours should be as well. It shouldn't be something that we have to plan. It should be spontaneous. Praise, considering what is praise? Well, it's a component of worship. It's the act of a worshiper. It is the expression of the worshiper. It is an expression of admiration for the Lord, an expression of adoration for the Lord. It's an expression of thankfulness and devotion toward God. It is to exalt God, to express an exaltation of God. It is the expression of a desire to glorify Him, to magnify Him, to honor Him. Praise proceeds from a desire of heart. It is most certainly the expression of reverence for God. We live in a day of irreverence. Therefore, there's very little praise. Praise is the expression of reverence for God. The deeper our reverence, the greater our praise. It's an ascription of worth to God. We read in Revelation 5 that He is worthy. That's praise. It's the expression that He is worthy. It's a celebration of God. To praise is to celebrate God, who He is. To celebrate what He has done. Seeing what praise is, certainly God is to be praised. He is to be praised at all times. Is there ever a time when it's inappropriate to praise God? Never. We'd always praise the Lord. It ought to be spontaneous. That is, it ought to be our impulse. It ought to be a reflex to who God is. Every time we think about who God is, the natural reflex of that should be praise. Every time we hear about God, every time we read about God, the natural reflex in the child of God's heart should be to praise Him. Not something we plan, it's just spontaneous. And that says a lot about our heart, whether or not our praise is spontaneous. Praise to God ought to be uninhibited. There shouldn't be anything that inhibits us to praise the Lord. It ought to be genuine, proceeding from the heart. There are no errors about praise. It should be genuine. Again, it ought to be continuous. It ought to be growing in fervency and in passion. It should never be mechanical. Never. It should never be superficial. It should never be shallow. Again, it's a component of worship. So much so that if praise ceases to be worship, it's no longer praise. Praise is a form of worship. It's a part of worship. And if we do not worship God in our praise, we do not really praise the Lord. Praise to God, being an integral part of worship, contains many of the essential features of worship. All true worship has features that are absolutely essential. If these features are not there, it ceases to be worship. That is also true of praise. So consider some of the essential features of praise. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John 4, verse 24, that worshipers must worship Him. That is, He is the sole object of worship. They must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, praise to God, like worship, must be in spirit and truth. That is, it proceeds, first of all, from a spiritual nature. The heart of one in which the Holy Spirit of God has done a saving work. And it is by the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that needs to be prompted by man and encouraged by man. It is under the influence of the Spirit of God. Well, I need someone to egg me on. I need someone to encourage me. Well, don't you see, that really ceases to be praise. It's not produced of the Holy Spirit. It's not true. It's not genuine. It's mechanical. It's shallow. Praise to God, again, is motivated by the Spirit of God. It is not by the dictates of the flesh. It is not under the control of fleshly attitudes. It's not under the control of fleshly viewpoints. Praise to God is a spiritual matter. And therefore something that goes beyond the mere external. And when we say that, it goes beyond the mere external. We do not mean that there is not an external part of praise. There certainly is. But praise to God is not an external performance. Praise is not a performance. It's spontaneous. Again, that doesn't mean that there's nothing external about it. There most certainly is. But the emphasis is not the external. The emphasis is the spiritual. It's not a mere religious exercise. It's not about self. The Lord asked a very probing question in Isaiah 1 in verse 11. He said, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices?" What He's saying is, why are you doing this? Why are you worshiping Me? That's the Lord asking Judah that question. What is the purpose of your sacrifices? What is the purpose? We need to hear God ask that question from time to time. What is the purpose of our worship? What is the purpose of our singing? What is the purpose of our gathering? What is the purpose? What is the purpose of our praise? It must be Him. If it's not, it ceases. Praise to God does not have its basis in tradition. You know, many times we as Baptists are not a whole lot different than Catholics when it comes to traditions. Do the same thing and we're like robots. Praise to God does not have its basis in tradition. Nor does it proceed from a mere sense of duty. It's spontaneous. It flows from the heart. Again, worship must be in spirit and truth, so praise must be in spirit and truth. Those are the God's set boundaries of worship, spirit and truth. You cross those boundaries, it ceases to be worship. That's true also of praise, being a component of worship. God has set boundaries, spirit and truth. You can view those two things as fences, spirit and truth. You climb the fence, you go over the fence, it ceases. It's no longer praise. So God set boundaries. That shows its importance. Just as in true worship, so in praise to God, there has to be a conscious awareness of God. You cannot worship God and you do not praise God if you are not aware of God. God is personality. God is reality. God is living. As such, He is active. Sets Himself apart from the idols in Psalm 115, verses 5 through 7. The idols don't have ears. They don't have eyes. They don't have lips. They don't speak. They don't answer. But God is living. God sets Himself apart from these. There has to be an awareness, a personal awareness of the Lord. But not only a personal awareness, there has to be a personal receiving from the Lord. And the reflex is we praise Him. We worship Him. Just as one cannot worship God unaware of God or oblivious to God, so you cannot praise God. And much today that is called praise service is anything but praise service. They don't know a thing about God. Who are they praising? It's just an emotional exercise is all it is. Praise to God consists of a heart that's united to God. A person who is away from God, a person who's in sin, a person who's backslidden, is not going to praise the Lord. It requires a heart that is united to God. It's a requirement. That's part of spirit and in truth. But a heart united to God is really a step further than an awareness of God. There must be an awareness of God, but it has to go further. People can be aware of God and not be united to God at all. But both must be in place. There must be an awareness of God. There must be a uniting of the heart to God. In other words, it involves a connection with the Lord. And the more we perceive God connected to our life, the more that reflex is there to worship Him, to praise Him. It's a heart joined and linked with God. It's a heart in conformity to God. If we're going to praise the Lord. You say, well, people sing, they praise, they do all kinds of things, but the truth is, if their heart is not in conformity with God, it's not real praise. It's not real worship. It's an exercise. When we come to the house of God, certainly we want something more than just an emotional exercise or a mental exercise. We want praise. We want worship. praise to God consists of a drawing near to God. Again, just like worship, it's a component of worship. Can one worship God and be at the same time be drawing further from God? I don't think so. Worship involves drawing near to God. Praise involves drawing near to God. Again, it's a consciousness of God. It's a heart connected with God. And if you have those two things, there's naturally a drawing near to the Lord. We're encouraged in Hebrews 10:22 and also James 4:8 to draw near to God. Draw close to God. That means to know Him better. It means to experience Him more. Experience Him to a greater degree, to have a deeper sense of Him, a deeper awareness of Him, to be more occupied with Him, to have more of an intimate connection and attachment to Him. That's essential to worship. That's essential to praise. Praise to God, and we want to spend some time on this, involves deep emotion. Involves emotion. You read our text verses, and there's emotion in what they're doing. Praise cannot be void of feeling. It can't be empty. Worship can't be void of feeling. Again, it's been preached for so long in Baptist circles. People have even mocked and ridiculed. Preachers have feeling. And what it is they're trying to connect or to warn against being charismatic, being involved in charismatic movement. But you see, we've gone the other way. And where I really truly believe that a lot of Baptists think that they have to remove all feeling from worship. Well, if you do, it's not worship. And it's not praise. Praise to God in all aspects is spiritual in nature and manner, proceeds from a heart in a right spiritual condition, and stands opposed to that which is carnal, spirit and truth. You look at most so-called praise services and they're carnal. They're fleshly, and they even feed fleshly desires. There's nothing about worship that is to be carnal. And it's contrived. True praise and worship is opposed to that which is carnal. It is opposed to that which is contrived. Praise to God is an emotional response to the Lord. That's what it is. It is an emotional response to God. The very word, praise, conveys the idea of jubilation. That's emotion. The very word conveys the idea of exuberance. And again, this is to be spontaneous. It's to be our reflex to God. It is our emotional response to God. Praise. So how can you remove emotion or feelings from worship or praise? You can't. And not keep it worship and praise. There are two extremes that we must avoid. emotionalism, which isn't the same as emotion, and formalism. Neither one of those, emotionalism or formalism, constitute true worship or praise. Emotionalism in worship and in praise is when the goal is the display of emotions. That's the goal. Preacher gets up and tells a heart-rending story just to get emotion. That's emotionalism. That's emotionalism. And getting people to act out of that. Planned worship services where someone over here is going to be slain in the spirit. That's emotionalism. That's contrived. That's planned. It has nothing to do with praise. It has nothing to do with worship. When the display of emotions is planned or preconceived, you turn on the tears for whatever reason. That's emotionalism. You turn on tears to get your way or to make people think that you're serious. That's emotionalism. When emotions are stressed for the sake of emotion, that's emotionalism. When emotion becomes the basis for faith, that is emotionalism. Formalism is when there is a lack, not of emotionalism, but a lack of emotion. A lack of passion. And really what formalism is the removal of the heart and emotion from worship and praise. If you remove the heart from emotion and praise, are you really worshiping? Are you really praising? No, you're not. So one's just as bad as the other. Emotionalism. Formalism. Now, those involved in the charismatic movement are often accused of emotionalism. And there's something to those accusations. They're guilty many times of emotionalism. Those in Baptist circles and Presbyterians, even more than Baptists, are often accused of formalism. There's something to those accusations. There really is. You'll never hear of a charismatic being accused of formalism. Doesn't happen. And it's not going to be it's pretty rare to hear a Baptist being accused of emotionalism. Pretty rare. Most in Baptist circles, I speak this to my own shame, when they feel their hearts bubbling over in a worship service, immediately begin to work on subduing those feelings. That's sad. That's really sad. That's formalism. God begins to get a hold of us and we begin to feel something. I just use something because I can't think of what I want to say right now. Well, I can't do that. They'll think I'm charismatic. They'll think I'm Pentecostal. That's wrong. That's wrong. I mean, you can give most people in a Baptist church almost a heart attack if you raise your hand. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with raising your hand. We go to many, many scriptures. That's what they did. Now, if you just do that, if you plan on doing that, that's emotionalism. You know, it's such and such. When it's 11:15, I'm going to raise my hand. That's emotionalism. Or if you, I want them to see how spiritual I am, and that's emotionalism. But a natural response, that's not emotionalism, that's emotion. There's nothing wrong with it. And Baptists need to get over that. They really do. They need to get over it. Because formalism is just as bad as emotionalism. The truth is, neither have any place in praise. They have no place in worship. So somebody says, a Baptist would say, well, if you're talking that, you're talking it's okay to express emotions, you're saying it's okay for a woman to speak out. No, it's all within the boundaries of God. We got to stay within the boundaries of God. We got to stay right. God has set boundaries. But you don't have to speak to show emotion. But we have this fear. I hope we don't, but through the years, there's been a fear of, well, we don't want to appear holier than thou. What's that got to do with an emotional response to God? Nothing. There ought to be an emotional response to God. Well, I'm just not that way. I keep that inside of me. Someone gives you $1 million, you don't keep it inside of you. You express it. It's an emotional response to God. Praise. So, what we do, many Baptists, in their attempt to oppose emotionalism, they have confused emotionalism with God-given, God-produced, God-honoring emotions. And everything we do in praise and worship should be God-given, God-produced, and God-honoring. Everything. The very meaning of emotion is excitability. Should we be excited when we come into the house of God? Yes, we should. The very meaning of emotion is feeling. Should we feel something when we assemble in the presence of God? I would certainly think so. It's a responsiveness. It's a sensibility. It's a sensitivity. Should we not feel a sensitivity when we're in the presence of God? The question is, and it's a foolish question, but it proves the point. Does excitement or feeling or responsiveness or sensitivity have any place in worship and praise? Well, certainly it does. Praise is an emotional response to God. But it is an emotional response within the boundaries that God has set. To say that it does, that these things do not belong in worship, is to say that praise is to be performed with coldness. Are we to be excited or cold when we worship God, when we come into the presence of God? Are we to have a sensitivity toward God, or are we to be detached from God when we worship? Someone says, well, I believe we should probably be somewhere in between. Well, where in the world do you get that? Half detached and half responsive? That doesn't make sense. Emotion belongs in worship. Belongs in praise. But if you say it doesn't, then you're saying that we're to worship the Lord without feeling. How can you have no feeling in the presence of God? There are plenty of people who get very angry at the very mention of God. And as angry as they get, we should get that happy. The things of the Lord. So praise to God proceeds from a reverence for God. And what is true reverence for God? I believe it's being overcome with a sense of wonder and marvel and amazement at the person of God. Overcome. Sometimes when we come into the house of God, it ought to just overcome us that God let me walk in that door. That God just let us be here. That ought to fill us with joy. Praise to God proceeds from a deep-seated humility. Pride does not praise God. Pride does not worship God. One must be humbled before God. And how can you know anything about God and not be humbled? It's just a natural result. Praise to God proceeds from a love to God. Is not love an emotion? Does not love show much emotion? Certainly it does. And praise proceeds from love to God. It proceeds from thankfulness to God. Think about being thankful. There's emotion involved in that. There's emotion. True thankfulness, there's emotion in gratitude. So it is with praise to God. Praise to God, I believe, involves a feeling of commitment. If you are committed to something, whatever it is, good or bad, if you are committed to something, it involves some emotion. Praise and worship to God is commitment. It's surrender to God. And I believe that's really the symbol of, we see it in the Psalms when the psalmist raising his hands. I believe that one of the things symbolized by that. Also, a reaching out to the Lord. You know, I remember, and some of you do probably as well, when Brother Hancock first came into our group of fellowship, and Brother Hancock, you just mention the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll start to cry. It's emotion. But I remember very well. I could even name the names, but there's no point in it. Preachers and other individuals as well saying that's just emotionalism. That's a put on. They're scared of it. People are scared. It scares them. Well, what's he going to do next? And there we sit. No emotion at all. God help us. Amen. Praise to God is the outpouring of a soul at peace in the conscious presence of God. How can you not feel something when you're at peace in the conscious presence of God? It's the occupation of the heart with God Himself. Oh, may we be a people of spontaneous praise to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, Paul is writing and he simply says, "Blessed be God." And then he goes on and tells of the wonderful truths of salvation. But it's like he begins to write, he gives his salutation, and then he's just like spontaneous, "Blessed be God. Praise the Lord." You even say that around God's people many times, they get uncomfortable. Something happens and you say, "Praise the Lord." And they'll look at you like, "Where in the world did you come from?" But it ought to be spontaneous. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll close. 1 Peter 1, verses 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, it's spontaneous praise. And then he goes on, and we're not going to read the verses, but they're a blessing. Speaks of the wonderful mercy of God, what we have in salvation. Oh, that praise would saturate our hearts, and that we would continually advance in praise. Just as we read in our text, and again, and again. That should be us, again, again, and again. Praise the Lord. Again and again and again, praising the Lord. We shouldn't be overly concerned about an emotional response to God. I'll tell you what we should be concerned about, and that is no response to God. That's what ought to concern us, is when we're so cold and so hard that we don't respond. But you notice the people that in their so-called holiness that have no response to God, they sure do respond to worldly things. And they show excitement in doing it. People go to a ball game and scream the top of their lungs for vanity. None of it matters. It really doesn't. I like sports. I have favorite sport teams. But I also know none of it really matters. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter. And when the Chicago Cubs lose and that ruins my day, I'd have a lot of ruined days. But if that ruins my day, I've taken too far. I really have. And that's true of any sport or any activity. If it doesn't go, the team you want to win doesn't win, and that ruins your day and puts you in a bad mood, think about that for a while. You've taken it too far. You really have. And we show emotional responses to that. I mean, there's people. University of Kentucky basketball, I was there. I mean, they'll be upset for a week if they lose a game. Till they make it up the next, they're going to be upset for the whole week. That's going a little too far with sports. An emotional response. And those same kind of people, and I'm not just talking about people from Kentucky now, I'm talking about everybody. Those same kind of people can leave the house of God with no response at all. That's sad. That's really, truly sad, sad state of affairs. God help us to be a people of praise. We have so much to praise God for. I mean, if we were to start to make a list and just begin who God is, what a long list. But our praise needs to be spontaneous. Just flows from the heart. And I believe it pleases God. I believe that's far more pleasing to God than just sitting smug and worried about, well, what will they think if I raise my hand? What will they think if I get happy? They might think he's got something I don't have. But God help us. Be a people of praise. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.